Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Life Coach Radio Network. You are live today on this beautiful Thursday afternoon in March with Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach. I am incredibly honored to be here with you today as we are going to talk about some cowgirl logic here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. You know, I do this show two times at a minimum every month, and what I love to bring onto my show are people that I am seeing in this world and in my community around me, folks that are really walking their talk. They're really in touch with their purpose. They're really committed and engaged with the message that they have for this world, and then they have the courage every day to walk that out. And I'm really privileged to be joined by an amazing guest, Crystal Lyons, today, and I'll tell you a little bit more about her as we go on. But I do want to offer up some information to you. We have a guest call-in number, and if you would like to call in and interact with Crystal or myself, Leanne Parsons, the number that you can call in and touch base with us today live is 646-716-9397. And we would love to take your calls, your questions, or a thought that you might have for us today. Again, I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach. I'm a life and leadership coach, really focusing on the area of legacy. I work a lot with adoptees and their families. I help them to find the missing thread within the tapestries of their adoption and within the tapestries of their story, to put it all back together again, so they can build bridges and not walls in all of their relationships. It's a real privilege that I have to be able to work in that arena, as well as a lot of life and leadership and legacy coaching outside of that arena. And so I'm really privileged to be here with you. I am part of 40 coaches here on Life Coach Radio Network, and we are a team of coaches who gather together almost every day on one of three networks here at Blog Talk Radio. And we bring free life coaching, inspirational messages. We love to challenge, poke, and encourage each one of us and each one of you as we journey this path of life that we all get to walk on. And again, I'm very privileged to be with you. And without any further ado, I want to introduce you to an amazing woman here live with Walk Your Talk with Leanne. Welcome, Crystal Lyons.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's really great to have you. Yeah, taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here today. You know, Crystal, you and I had an opportunity to meet almost 11 years ago, almost to the day, actually. You and I met back in Loveland, Colorado in April 2003, and you were in our town getting ready to kick off our local rodeo. And I was so incredibly impressed with everything you can do on horseback as well as the voice that God has given you. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about you and what it is that you do?
Well, I've just been a long ways of coming, I guess. I'm raised in a background that's not rodeo at all. I was raised in the Ozarks of Southern Missouri, but I always wanted a rodeo. And my mom and dad raised me in the Lord, so I fell in love with the Lord at an early age and just grew up kind of learning how to talk to him and how to listen. And still learning how to listen, by the way. I had no idea that God would be involved with you outside of the church walls. And that was a huge revelation to me because of as I started rodeoing and I wasn't any good at it. I didn't come from a rodeo family, but I wanted it so bad. And I started talking to God about it and asking the Lord about it, and I just saw in His Word that He said that if He would teach us and lead us and guide us into all things. And so I took that scripture to mean what it said, and started asking Him, how do I do this, how do I do that? And it began a life adventure several decades ago, and so it led into me. I was just an adventure craver, so it led into me riding bulls and broncs in the Women's Pro Rodeo Association. I started getting hired to ride rough stock broncs and bulls at rodeos, mostly bulls, and traveling around. And then it just kind of evolved from that into full-time ministry for the last 20-some years. How's that? That's the Reader's Digest version.
I love it. I love it, Crystal. And, you know, you are a woman of many talents. So not only have we heard about your adventure craver, bull and bronc rider, and what I want our listeners to know about you is that you are a very accomplished singer and songwriter. You have recorded 9 CDs. Pretty amazing.
Yes.
You do a call. Yeah. Yep. You do a Cowgirl Logic. I'm 2-minute radio spot. You, like I said, are amazing. You're fierce on horseback. That's like a word that keeps coming up for me when I like that word.
Fierce. I like that word. That's an awesome word. That's an awesome word. I don't feel that way. Well, sometimes I do on horseback. But hey, you know what? If you can't win, at least entertain the crowd while you're at it. Even if you're wrecking, entertain them, man.
absolutely. And you really do, Crystal. You know, and we had the opportunity to meet in 2003, 11 years ago. My daughter, actually, at the time was not quite 12. She and her girlfriend, they did a lot of interpretive dance. And they were getting ready for a Kiwanis Stars of Tomorrow competition in our town of Loveland, Colorado. Remember that? Yeah. And so they actually danced to one of your amazing songs, Legacy to the Cherokee. And, you know, I re-listened to that over the years and then again this morning, and I got goosebumps head to toe because who would have known 11 years ago that I would be talking Legacy right now. My daughter and her friend intimately involved in that song in an interpretive dance that, you know, brought them into the Stars of Tomorrow competition, and they danced absolutely beautifully. It was stunning. And how the impact that you have even had on young people. So not only do you have impact on the rodeo circuit with the people that you interact with every day, but, you know, in my own personal life and in my family's life, you've really had an impact and left a legacy for the Parsons family in general with your music and your gifts. And so I personally want to take this opportunity live on my radio show to thank you. Because, you know, for our kiddos, as they were growing up, you were an integral part of that, especially in my daughter's life, because I know that she played your CDs over and over and over again. And as they choreographed music to put movement to your incredible words of that song, you know, it dramatically impacted their life as well. So thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate it. One of the things that I've done in the past is do youth outreaches, but with a live band and doing street concerts and human videos and things like that. And so I appreciate that because I feel a connection with youth. It doesn't, you know, it's something about us. God never created us to grow old, okay? I mean, we screwed that up. We screwed that up in the garden. We'd have never grown old. We'd have never died. Experience death and decay and everything else. You know, people are always, you'll hear it every now and again, well, if God is love, then why is there so many bad things happening in the earth? Well, look in the mirror, sweetheart. We did it. God didn't do it. We did it. And he was never for the way things have all this, the negative. But the fact is that he didn't create us to grow old. And so if you don't grow old in your heart, in your attitude, it's like youth and young people are just such a joy. They're such a joy to be around, and especially if they hunger for something good, you know. Anyway,
love that.
Yeah, hunger for something good. So, you know, that's a pretty fun segue into, you know, we're the title of our show tonight is Cowgirl Logic, and we want to talk a lot about what you're currently doing and that kind of thing. But I would love it. You just gave us a huge bit of logic right there, coming straight from the cowgirl. And I love that because we really aren't ever designed to grow old, depending on what our definition of old is, right? And so what kind of cowgirl, like real organic here, Crystal, logic can you give us on this March 19th day?
Well, I don't know how entertaining this would be, but I do
or
know
20th.
What God
Oops, sorry.
Is. Yeah? I have no idea. I'm barely aware that it's March, so you're good with me. You know, I had a dream the other night, and in the dream, the Lord spoke to me about residue that was left in my life, and I don't know about how, you know, cowgirl logic is usually like a little quickie, a lot of times funny and everything, but cowgirl logic, I guess, but it's a God logic, is, you know, I had several knee injuries when I was tying goats and stuff. I really tore up one knee. I had to get it operated on, and the insurance didn't cover for the therapy, and they told me what to do, and I thought I was putting myself in enough pain. Well, obviously, I was not putting myself up in enough pain because all of the calcium deposits, all of that, what do you call it, not calcium deposits, but scar tissue that builds up, you know, in your knee and everything, and I've lost about half the movement in one of my knees as a result of that. And that was like, I realized that that's like what happens to us. When God started talking to me about residue, we go through periods in our life. Everybody does this. You go through periods in your life where your knees are taken out from under you, where the wind is taken out of your sails. You're devastated, whether it's the death of somebody, whether it's the death of a relationship or a career or your dreams got dashed, whatever. There's 1,001 things that is all happening. And it takes that experience, people, we live through it, we survive it, and we go on. And if you're a believer, you learn to forgive, you let things go, you release. Because it only keeps you in bondage if you don't. And the experience is past. But the Lord let me know there's residue that's left behind from that experience. It's like dust. It's like scar tissue on my knee. I'm not in pain anymore. That knee injury is a memory. But you can thump on my knee and it don't hurt no more. But there's scar tissue left in my knee from that injury that has inhibited its freedom of movement. And that happens to our hearts. We make it past some or multiple discouraging, disappointing, disheartening events. And we make it past it and we go, okay, that was done, praise God, I'm on my way forward. But we don't realize that there's scar tissue that we allowed those things affected our heart and affected the way we think. And it starts dampening us from having joy and having any expectation of a brighter future. And we go to having less movement. We go to walking through life on guard, expecting the next hit and kind of hunker down, you know, sucked up, waiting for the next hit or something, instead of freely loping through life like we did when we was a kid. And God is the only one that knows how to take care of that. I mean, people can help us dig down into those areas and stuff, but I don't even know what's there. I don't know what's there. God knows what's there. And he just dealt with me that the other night and just brought that up in a dream, and he said, you have residue left from past hurts and past events, and I want to take it out so that you can experience the fullness of joy and begin to believe for a bright future instead of we close in our boundaries. We start building little smaller and smaller backyard fences instead of living in open range like God wanted us to. He wants us to dream big and not be afraid to shoot out there again. And that's hard. It's hard to do sometimes. And so I would just say, you know, those people, anybody listening to this that's, everybody's gone through stuff, I would just say open yourself up to the Lord and say, and ask him, tell him, I know you know what's there and I don't. And I'm giving you permission to go in and remove the scar tissue, remove the residue that's left over so that we can believe again.
Absolutely. You know, I love that, and I really appreciate your transparency, Crystal, as you shared with us your dream. You know, that's kind of an intimate part of yourself, and, you know, that's what I love about you, is every interaction that I've had with you, listening to your music, hearing you on Rodeo Circuit when you were in our town, and, you know, you're just really an authentic gal who just speaks really from the heart. And, you know, I have to just echo what you're saying, you know, this time of Lent that we're in, I sometimes do the Lent thing, sometimes I don't. But one of the things that I've been really focusing on really piggybacks off of what you were just saying, and that is, you know, kind of taking out my emotional trash. And, you know, really looking at that piece of when we allow annoyances and anger and frustration to come in and collect, it does get into our marrow, right? It totally gets into our bones. It builds up scar tissue and in our hearts. And then those feelings become such a powerful force that when we open up our mouths or we are interacting with other people, whether it be through our actions, our words, our expression, you know, sometimes that can cause some damage, and not only to our lives, but to the people around us. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm just kind of giggling with myself about right now is, how cool is this? When Life Coach meets the Cowgirl Logic, look at that, you know, symbiotic opportunity that the Lord allowed us to connect on that really deep level here within the first, you know, 30 minutes of our radio show together, that, you know, really cutting through the chase and getting to the heart of the matter is, you know, not letting those seeds of bitterness or unforgiveness or whatever can stop us from moving forward, not allowing those to get a foothold and really be able to walk in that freedom.
Yeah, and even this is the hardest part. To me, I think, in my experience, I think this forgiving is the hard thing up front. When that is in the scenario that something's been done by someone else, that's the hardest thing up front. But as you walk that out and you choose to forgive, eventually your emotions catch up and go, you know. And as a believer, there's no choice. We've been forgiven for everything. I mean, we deserve hell, and we're not going to hell because of innocent blood that Jesus shed for us. So for me to hold that forgiveness to somebody else is absolutely asinine, and it's shooting my own self in the face. You know, it's like cutting off your own nose to spite your face. So that's not an issue, especially for a believer, because he's forgiven us. So I can forgive you. I can choose to do that. And then eventually, like I said, the feelings catch up. But what's the hardest for me anyway, what I've experienced, forgiving is not the hardest part, and letting the bitterness go is not the hardest part, because I like to laugh too much. I enjoy life. I love joy. I don't, all of that stuff puts ugliness on your face and in your heart, and I enjoy life too much to waste it on something that is in my past. But the hardest part for me is we tend to predict our future by our past. If we really put our heart out there and we shot for the star, but we landed in the gutter, you can begin to think that you're only gutter level person. If you know, you go in and you give it your best shot, and it doesn't rate out there in the world's ratings. So you begin to think that you're just mediocre. Stuff happens, and you begin to think that that your best is behind you and not in front of you. And the hardest part for me is to believe again that God has a future for you, a good one. a good one. That's the hardest part, is believing for a good future. Because if we don't believe for a good future, we cast off all restraints and we just go, you just quit. If you quit paddling, you'll go downstream. It takes a live fish to swim upriver. Any old dead fish floats downstream. And if you quit going against the flow of you know, you just give up in life, down you go. And that's what hurts and past things do to us. I think they get beyond the thing of saying, well, my best is behind me, and there's, you know, those that are without, maybe divorced or this or that, well, there's not a love relation, there's not going to be a good love relationship in my future. Family has all gone to pot. There's not going to be that. And only God can do those things. But you know what? He's not going to do it without us believing and walking with him. And I don't know if I'm making any sense here, but that was the hardest part for me, was to believe that God, that I had a good future, that there was something in my future that was still better than what I've experienced in my past. And I have experienced good things in my past. I mean, lots of it. I'm so blessed.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that you pointed out some really key, beautiful points of logic, if you will, when you talked about, you know, not being afraid to take that next best step. You know, and within my coaching practice, that's a lot of what I help people do, is really take that next best step for them to let go of some of those fears and insecurities, right, and the condemnation we put on ourselves or others.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
And really, really help them walk into victory and experience a new beginning. Because every day that we are given the gift of breath and life, there is new opportunities for us to walk into. And we oftentimes limit ourselves over and over and over again because maybe based on a limiting belief that, or a past assumption or an interpretation of an event that happened, right, in our past or whatever, that we're kind of replaying that old tape in our head that, you know what, I don't know if I have what it takes to do this. And,
yeah,
you know,
you
when,
have to stop playing those old tapes. Go ahead. You said something really good about playing the old tapes. You have to stop playing the old tapes.
Stop it. And, you know, sometimes those grooves are deep. And, you know, at the beginning of our conversation, Crystal, you had shared that, you know, you really weren't that good on the rodeo and you didn't know what that was going to look like. But then you had the courage to become a bronc rider and a bull rider. Tell me a little bit about that, because that's setting aside a limiting belief that you weren't really good at it. I don't know if I believe that about you. You're pretty fierce. So tell us about
that. Yeah, well, it happened. It's cool. It happened because I wanted rodeo so bad, and I didn't, like I said, I didn't come from rodeo family. So I could rodeo on a Missouri and Arkansas, and it was the amateurs. And they had goat tying for ladies. And so, you know, you don't have to have a well-trained barrel horse, and I'm goat tie. So I had goats staked out everywhere. You know, I walk out the front door, and somewhere between the house and the barn, a goat would be staked, and goats were staked everywhere. So I kept the pigging string on me, and I would walk out and throw and tie a goat all day long. I mean, throughout the day, I was doing it plus the times of practice, and I was going up against women that had been doing it for about 10 years, and so they were just stomping me. I mean, they were beating the socks off of me. I could get my horse down there quick, but that throwing and tying, they had, so I would enter and lose. Now, okay, I can take some losing, but come on now. Nobody wants a steady diet of that. Nobody wants to be added money on the roster. And I'd go back to the trailer and sit down and cry, and I didn't understand it because I thought, here I am, a Christian. Why aren't you blessing me, God? I'm a Christian. And these other girls, some bunch of them weren't, and how come you're not blessing me? Well, see, I had the mistaken belief that just because I was a believer and I had Jesus, that I was automatically supposed to be blessed. Well, dear Lord, I never read the Word. I didn't get into the Bible for myself because that's what we paid preachers to do, okay? We paid them the big bucks to read the Bible and tell us what it says. And so finally one day I started getting in the Word, and I ran onto that scripture but I ran onto this scripture also in Joshua 1, and it says, this one was a life-changing thing for me. It says that he told Joshua to have courage, and he said, put my words in your mouth. Don't let my words depart out of your mouth. In other words, don't say something that I'm not, don't talk in disagreement with what I say. Say what I say. And he said, and then you, he told Joshua, you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. And that went off on the inside of me. It's like, wow. Oh, my gosh, I've been asking the Lord to make me prosperous and be a good success. And he said, if I would just start talking his word, I'll make my way prosperous. It's in my court to do it. And I've been asking him to do it, and it's not his to do. It's his to enable me. And so I thought, well, what does God say about rodeo? So I started looking up scriptures, and the Bible says that we have authority over the beast of the field. It says that in Genesis, says it in Psalms. So I started saying, well, I got authority over those goats, and big old goats, there's 100 and some odd pound goats and all. And I started claiming that, and then I saw that scripture in John that said that the Lord would teach you teach you how to do all things, A-L-L, not just church religious things, all. I went, oh, my gosh, if God would get involved with me in rodeoing, I mean, then if his word is true, then this includes rodeo. And that was like huge to me because, see, I thought God was only interested in church services, and church services were boring. So I thought God was boring. Okay? It was just my logic. I didn't even like the music that I thought God liked. And so I gave him the 1 hour, but heck, life was for living, and God was kind of a drag. And so when I read that, I went, well, either he means everything or he's a liar, and we know God's not a liar. So I decided to put his word in my mouth, start saying it. And I started asking the Lord to show me how to tie goats faster. And you know he did. One day I was out practicing, and I had this, I call them bleeps. It was a little mini vision. I saw me going and handling the goat a different way. Totally, completely different than what was the typical way of doing it. And it cut out 3 moves. Well, you cut out moves, you cut out time. I started winning. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. God will get involved. I'd go back there, and I'd speak over my goat that when I drew it. I'd tell it in the name of Jesus, I have authority over you according to the word of God. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. My God is strengthening me on the inside. And that was huge to me. And so I was breaking colts. I was single, living back in the hills, breaking colts and hauling them to the sale barn and pinning cattle on Tuesdays at sale barn and hauling cattle. And a girl in the Ozarks has got to do a lot of different stuff to live. And you can't do girl jobs, not unless you're educated to it. Huh?
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
So,
and you know, you know what I've been, you know what keeps bubbling up for me as you're sharing? Can I just share something? Because I just really want to, you know, encourage you and encourage our listeners. You were just talking about, you really, if I were to, like, tighten all of that up, you were like, you know what? I am so done letting other people define me and saying what I can and can't do. I'm going to claim the authority that I've been given. In the Lord, I'm gonna own it. I'm gonna read it for myself. I'm not gonna let other people interpret what God is trying to tell me. I'm going to the source. I am going right to the source. I'm going to his word on my own. I'm gonna dig in. I'm gonna see who he says I am instead of letting the preacher on Sunday morning tell me who I am. I'm gonna go right to the source, right to my creator. And just like you spoke about in Joshua, you know, you said have courage and start saying and speaking what God says about you, not your situations, not your circumstances, not what you feel your limitations are, right?
but who
right.
does God really say you are? And, you know, that's a lot of strength. I'm going to put that word in there. I'm deeming you fierce, girl, because you really, you did. You dove in very fiercely into this whole process of really understanding who you are because, you know, you didn't, like you said, you didn't come from a rodeo family. And here you jumped into the circuit. You started claiming what you knew about yourself. We call it in my coaching world, you used some visioning. You started to see yourself taking down the goat. And, you know, like you said, I love the phrase when you said you cut out the move, cut out the time. I mean, that's a huge cowgirl logic principle that I think each one of us can learn a lot from what you just shared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, see, I had no idea where none of us really have any idea, I guess, of where we're actually going to go. I mean, we kind of can have clues. But, girl, I had no idea. I mean, God started talking to me at an early age that he had a purpose for my life and a calling, and I didn't want to answer it because I thought everything, like I said, I thought God, and I loved the Lord. I knew I was saved, but I just related everything to inside a church building, and I found that to be boring, and I was scared to answer it, and I had no clue what all he was going to do. And in the process of all of this, I'll never forget this. This is so awesome. God is so cool. I was sitting on the floor in a neighbor's house watching the 10th round of the NFR that used to be in Oklahoma City, and it was called the Heston Round. And I was sitting on the floor watching it, and all of a sudden, I heard God talking to me on the inside, not in an audible voice, but on the inside. And I heard him say, I'm going to take you to the NFR. Hmm. But I heard him say, Las Vegas. Well, the NFR was always in Oklahoma City. And I heard him, and he said, I'm going to take you to the NFR, and you will not be a ticket-paying spectator. I've got something for you to do. And I just sat there and caught my breath. I heard it. And I thought, wow, I mean, what would I ever do at the NFR? I'm a goat tire. And a few years later, a couple years later or so, the NFR moved from Oklahoma City to Las Vegas, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And right after that, I had an invitation came in the mail about an all-girl bull riding in Alma, Arkansas. And I talked to a friend of mine who rode bulls, and I said, I want to get on a bull. I mean, I had always, always loved bull riding, but I'd never been on one. And so he took me down there. I got on my first bull, and I just loved it. I don't remember nothing about the ride, but it was an adrenaline rush like you would not believe, and I loved it. I was like, oh, my gosh, I was just going to do it one time, you know what it felt like, and it was like, oh, my gosh, I have to do that again. And so the next thing you know, I bucked off of three bulls, and the fourth bull I entered, it was all the way down to Seguin, Texas. I rode that sucker. And the next thing you know, I'm winning Rookie of the Year, and I'd only been on a handful of bulls. And I got a call one day by Betty Gail Cooper, and she said, we've got this idea. Jim Sutton, rodeo stock contractor, has an idea for to bring in more people to the crowning of Miss Rodeo America at the NFR at the Thomas and Mack Arena, and we want to call it Beauty and the Beast, and we want to invite six girls to come, three to ride bulls and three to ride Bronx. All could be former world champion cowgirls, which I was not world champion diddly squat. I was just winning Rookie of the Year. And she said, we're going to catch you know what for this, but we really believe you're supposed to be there. I'm listening to her tell me this on the phone, and tears were running down my face because I remembered years earlier when the Lord spoke to me sitting on the floor and said, I'm going to take you to the NFR. I had no idea how he was going to do it, but I just believed him. So that was the beginnings of that. I went to the NFR and rode a bull in 1986, went back again. They did it 2 years. I rode a bronc the next year. I got my head drilled the next year on a bronc. But anyway, I got to go and ride at the NFR 2 years. And then I had written all these songs that had cowboy-type lyrics to them and nowhere to sing them. And that was God used the riding of the bulls and stuff as a vehicle to put me out into doing the ministry that I do now.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. You just gave us such a beautiful picture into your journey and incredibly honored to hear that. And I'd love to hear more, you know, in our second half hour here together. I'd love to hear more about your current ministry, your music ministry. It was a great segue into that. Perfect timing. So, you know, take a drink of water. I need to give I have the opportunity now to do a little commercial break for our radio network. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. And Crystal, what I would love, as we enter into our last half of the show here, I would love to hear when your most inspirational moment on the radio circuit, rodeo circuit, and then I'd also love it if you could share with us what song of yours that you have produced. I mean, you've got, 9 CDs out, so I know there's a bunch of them, but what song, if you had to really put a label or a signature on, represents Crystal Lyons? How does that sound? You want to think about that for a minute while I take our commercial break here? So again, Listeners, we are so honored to have you here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network. We do have 3 networks that we go live on almost every day. We have Life Coach Radio Network, which you are listening to me on right now. We also have Life Coach Chat, which is a super fun channel where several of us life coaches get together, usually about 3 at a time, and we chat about just about any topic that you ever could imagine. And we just kind of pound it out and provide some awesome insight and inspiration on Life Coach Chat channel. We also have Life Coach International Radio, where we do go all over the world. This is the beauty of the age, technology age, in which we live right now, where you can listen at your leisure at any time. All of our shows on all 3 networks are podcasted on iTunes, as well as the Life Coach Radio Network's webpage. You are able to go there, as well as individual pages, to pull up previous shows that we have brought forward for you. We have some upcoming shows here on Life Coach Radio Network. Tomorrow, Friday the 21st at noon, you can join Coach Mandy as she talks about training your brain and upping your game. We also have Spiritually Speaking with Rev Jen on Monday, March the 24th at 8 p.m. and Fun to Fortune on Tuesday, March 25th at 12 p.m. as well. And so I invite you to check out all of the listings for all of our networks. There's just some great shows coming up. You will hear me, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach, again on April the 3rd, Thursday, in the evening, as I am interviewing Shannon Etheridge. Shannon is an author, a mentor, a speaker, and a coach. She has written several books. And we're going to talk a lot about healthy sexuality, spirituality. She has authored up the book Every Woman's Battle, The Passion Principles, Fantasy Fallacy is one of her newest books, and she offers workshops as well. So you will want to mark your calendars again for April the 3rd. Super excited to have her on with us as well. And, you know, today is Thursday, March 20th, 2014, and I am live with an amazing, fierce woman of God, Crystal Lyons. Welcome back, Crystal, to Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Thank you, Leanne. That last advertisement that you gave of that lady, she sounds pretty cool. That's going to be an interesting day.
You know, thank you, it is. I actually had the opportunity to meet Shannon Etheridge, Crystal, when I was in Nashville last year. I was at the International Coaching and Counselors Convention in Nashville and had an amazing opportunity to meet many men and women of God who are really pursuing their passions and really making an impact in this world. And
that's awesome.
She's written some pretty provocative books.
We are not afraid on Walk Your Talk with Leanne to talk about any of the hard stuff, because that's what it's all about, right, is having victory and freedom in this life that we live.
Right.
And, you know, we can experience life to the fullest when we stand shoulder to shoulder with each other. And, you know, that's definitely my passion and my vision as a coach, as a mentor, and as another fierce woman standing right alongside of you. And really, really appreciate that. You know, I was thinking about, Crystal, before our time together, about the word logic and thinking about the strength and the dignity and the courage that it has to take to get on a bull, to get on a bronc, to get out in front of thousands of people like you do, producing music, sharing your message, leaves you in a pretty vulnerable place in each one of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought about logic. I kind of put an acronym with it. Love overcomes guilt and insecurities and condemnation. So there's a little bit of Leanne. Yeah, there's a little bit of Leanne's life coaching legacy
there
logic.
There you go.
Yeah, so super fun. And right before our break, I had asked a couple questions of you to think about while I did our little commercial announcement, and one was your most inspirational moment.
There's been so many, but there's one that means a lot to me, and it is, and usually, as with everything, I guess it ends up being on the other side of a struggle, and where you saw the faithfulness of God. God showed me something about fear and dealing with fear, and he did this through Rhode Island. And I was entered in bull riding. There was a PRC rodeo in Belfouche, South Dakota. It was on the 4th of July weekend. And that year they decided to have girls bull riding there, and there was several girls entered there, one girl even from Canada. And I came up from Los Angeles, California, had won just enough money down there to drive up to Belfouche, South Dakota, pay my fees, and I had $5 left over, okay? And I had a farm payment due back in Missouri. The pucker factor was intense, okay? I needed to be able to get home, and $5 wasn't going to do it. Well, when I got there, the stock contractor pulled all of us girls off to the side and showed us this pen of bulls. And he said, I brought this pen of bulls for you girls, because he said they're just some good practice bulls, jump kicking, good bulls. But he said, one of the judges here has a burr under his saddle. And he's like, if he didn't want the girls to be there riding. And he said, if they're going to be here riding, bless God, they're going to have to get on PRCA bulls. And he said, I'm sorry, I'll do the best I can do, but you're going to have to get on the bulls that's in the draw. Well, that had happened to us before. But anyway, this was the weirdest rodeo. There were so many injuries. It was one of those places where you could just cut fear with a knife. There was three people carried off to ICU before I ever got on my bull to ride. And the last one to get carried off was the Canadian girl who got on the bull right in front of me, and the bull fell with her, rolled over her, and she ended up busted up all over. She was in a body cast. And so we had to wait like 20 minutes for another ambulance to come back. They'd run out of ambulances. And I'm standing on my bull. I'm the next to go. Everything in me does not want to get on that bull. I did not want to get on that bull. The joy of riding was gone that day. And I was at that moment, you know, you wish you that you liked dolls instead of the way you grew up. And anyway, I stood there on the back of the chute, and you don't have a choice. I mean, it's do or die. And I had learned, God had shown me that whenever you feel fear just crushing in on you, it's not your fear. I used to argue, it feels like I'm afraid. No, it's not your fear. It's a spirit of fear that's coming against you to try to get you to back off so he can win. And so I stood on the back of the chute. And usually I would quote the word in 2 Timothy, 1st or 2 Timothy, I always forget, 1:17, that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But that day, I quoted a piece out of Psalms 91, and I said, I kept saying, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. I still felt afraid. And when the ambulance got back and it was time for me to warm my rope and take my wrap and nod my head, I was still afraid. But I just kept saying that word, and I took my wrap, nodded my head, and I made the whistle. I rode this bull. I was the only girl the entire weekend to get a bull covered, so I won the whole pot. And I never felt so much fear in my entire life. I mean, girl, it felt like a dark, wet blanket. You could cut it with a knife. Nothing in me wanted to get on that bull. But see, it was the same thing. So many times when fear comes at us, it is to get us to back off because we're about to step into a wonderful victory. And for whatever reason, I got other stories that weren't that rough, but that one is still one of my favorites. I love the memory of what God did there.
Wow, I've got like goosebumps, right, hearing you share that and just about how it's not your fear, it's the spirit of fear, and how you just really embraced that. You took God's word. You put it up against that fear. You quoted it. You spoke it, and you owned it. I mean, Crystal, everything in this conversation that I've had with you today has just totally confirmed, you know, just everything that I know about you as far as really walking your talk and, you know, really not letting other people define you. Because being a woman, bull rider, bronc rider, right out of the gate, like you said, you were the only one who held on to it during that rodeo. And, you know, not many of you have had the courage to step into that arena and really play full out. You really are an adventure gal. I'm hearing it. And I really love the inspiration that you're able to bring us. You know, the bio that you sent me shared at the bottom that your heart is to encourage people to begin living an adventure with God where he and you together do incredible things. And
yes.
I'm totally hearing,
yes.
You know, I'm totally, totally hearing that in your message. And so much of your message radiates with me. Now, just to be honest, I would love someday to ride a bull or a bronc, but I do not have that kind of courage nor the skill. But I love to live vicariously through you as you share your story. My fears are a little bit different. And, you know,
yeah,
I love
the
that
thing is,
you have taken. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that that's the cool thing about God, though, is because now you put me on a motorcycle or something. I mean, I think that dirt bike and all that stuff is so cool, but I haven't even hardly rode bicycles before. So you put me on something like that, and I'm fixing to wreck out, and I'm going to be scaring myself because it's not my place. It's not my niche. That's it, my niche. So you're going to have a place in your niche of adventure that is I'm going to be too fearful to step into because it's not me. But that's the whole awesome thing about God, is that we're as individual, as a snowflake, and we each have our niche. And then in that niche, you face the fears that would keep you, that would bump you out of that niche. But if you can find that place that you belong and then invite God into that place with you, because we can only do so much. I love it because God will put his super on our natural, and then he does through us what we could not do apart from him. You just can't do it apart from him. There's no way. But when he gets involved, it's, I know how to say it. If you just like... Just like, you got some pit bulldog outside your yard harassing your little old poodle, you know, or your little chihuahua dog or whatever. And your little chihuahua's on that front porch, and he's just kind of hunkering down over this pit bull. But when the man of the house steps out and puts his two big old boots on that front porch and that little old chihuahua dog is standing between his legs, all of a sudden that little dog gets the – he's big. I mean, he's like – you know, he's like rip out the throat of that pit bull. Why? Because daddy's standing there. That's what happens when you invite God into you. I can be facing what I got to face, and I'm whimpering like a little chihuahua dog. But when I sense God's boots stepping on the platform, all of a sudden I'm ready to take out the throat of the pit bull, because daddy's boots just stepped on the front porch, and this is my ground now. It makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, love it. Yeah, totally claiming that territory. And, you know, listeners, that was some serious cowgirl logic right there. God will put his super on your natural. Love that.
Oh, what
a great takeaway. I'm going to be having to tweak some of this stuff that we've been talking about, because you, Crystal, have given us so many beautiful jewels into, you know, and wrapping your story in with it, and how you have had this journey of adventure and courage in your own life and really being an overcomer and really stepping into, you know, your best life. You're not afraid of it. And, you know, that moves us to our second question. What song have you produced, written, recorded, that if you had to say, you know, kind of is your signature song?
You know, I haven't sung it in so long, and it's definitely not my favorite song. But when you said that, I have to say it's the song Ride Upon Your Vision. It talks about exactly what you're saying. It talks about how that you can squelch down and just, you know, back off because of other people's opinions, or even your own opinion of yourself, or you can ride upon your vision. The choice is up to us. And that would be the song.
Beautiful. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Ride upon your vision. So is there any way that you could share a line or two with us? I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, you know, that's the thing is about a singer. You remember things through the melody lines, you know, and you have to think the music. One of it goes, you can ride upon your vision or you can walk down in the plane. The choice is yours to make. My friend, I can't remember thinking of that. It's hard to do it when you're not thinking the music. But it's talking about how that you can back off from what other people say and lose that sparkle in your eyes. And
wow.
Yeah, and I think, listen, I really believe this, okay? I think that we let the world... God help me, because I can say this easily, but you end up judging yourself wrongly too. But the thing is, I think that we let the world tell us what success is too often. And we think success is often winning that first prize or being the top of the deal or whatever. And success is more in following your heart and living out those deals, whether you succeed, whether you fail, the person that you're becoming, never losing that sparkle in your eyes, never losing the boldness and the flavor for life, the appetite for life. And people that live that way and never lose that sparkle or that appetite in life, they're doing something right. They're doing something right. You may not see their name on a billboard, but they're doing something right. And they're the ones that I want to hang around.
Yeah, I totally hear you. And, you know, those are the people we want to hang around. Walking your talk, riding your vision.
Yeah.
You love
yeah.
it. Really. Yeah, being super-duper authentic. And I just think that's such a beautiful way to sum up even our time together today. What an amazing analogy for us to think about, and just not letting anybody dim the sparkle in our eyes, because
right.
that sparkle
and,
is
and
given
ourselves.
To us. Right.
And we're the worst one. We're the worst enemy. Yeah, and we're the worst enemy to do it. We're the worst ones. We do it to ourselves more than anybody else does it to us.
Boy, isn't that the truth? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. Oh, thank you for sharing that. And listeners, I want to encourage you to look that up. And really, you know, Crystal, I want to give you an opportunity as well before our time ends here together, that if people would like to know more about you, how to find you on the World Wide Web, how would they go about getting a hold of you?
It's easy. Crystal Lyons, and that's spelled L-Y-O-N-S. CrystalLyons.com. CrystalLyons.com.
Oh, perfect.
They can
there
look
you
up,
go.
CalgirlLogic.net, and that'll get you to the same spot.
Excellent. Excellent. Thanks for sharing that, Crystal. And, you know, there is something else about you that is fierce and super, super fun. And I would like for us, for you to share about your unique, special friend that travels everywhere with you, gets into a little bit of mischief, gets into a little bit of mischief in your world. So I would love it. We've got about 5 minutes left, Crystal, and I would love it if you could share with us a little bit about your special friend.
Oh, that's sugar. I have a pet raccoon with me right now. I think she's the ninth one I've raised. I've raised a few skunks, a fox, an owl, I don't know, multiple deer, you know, because I live out and you find these orphans, and so you raise them. So, yeah, I got another pet coon with me, and she is an absolute hoot. Matter of fact, I was down on the creek. I'm here at a rodeo grounds, and they got a little creek right here, and I had her down on the creek with me, and I remembered, oh, my gosh, I better get up there and call you. But, yeah, that's Sugar. She's a hoot. She's a sweetheart. Yeah, pet coon. She's a mess.
Right. Wow. So
I got pulled over in Oklahoma. I got pulled over in Oklahoma because of her. I had her in the cab of the truck with me, and she was attacking my head from behind, and it was a rough road, and I'm driving, pulling this rig, and I'm grabbing the coon by the nape of the neck and throwing her to the back of the rig, and, of course, that's what she loved. She run back up there and pounced on my head. Well, somebody said I was doing erratic driving. I do not agree. I surely was not. And I pulled into this town in Oklahoma, and the cops pulled me over, and they said, we're just checking you. You okay? We heard you was doing some erratic driving. About that time, she stuck her little head up at the window, and I went, well, that could possibly be the part of the reason right there. The guy just beat himself laughing, and he said, just go on. Just go on.
He didn't quite know what to do with you, did he? Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. Yeah, very, very special. It's been fun kind of following you on social media, Crystal, and seeing some of the photos that you snap. And, you know, I was just had an opportunity to have a conversation with two different people, actually, this week whose houses have been overcome by raccoons. And so I just thought, oh, I got to include this little bit about Sugar here on our radio show today to just encourage those folks who are out there. Who are dealing with water issues.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You don't want them in your house, that's for sure.
Oh, love it.
Well,
love it, Crystal.
Thank you, Leanne, for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Crystal. I am certainly very honored, very humbled for you to take this time to spend time with us. And I would love it as well as if you could share any closing thoughts that you have. You know, your cowgirl logic, what do you have that you want to leave our listeners with today is at the end of our March 20th show?
Well, I saw Sugar showed me something the other day, a reflection of ourselves when we act like a varmint. And that is, you know, you can give, she loves Cheetos. Oh, my gosh, she loves Cheetos. You hand her a Cheeto, and you can reach down there to hand her another one, and anybody who's had coons will know this. You can get bit. Why? Because you're the source. You're the one that's kept them alive, and you're the one that's given them the treats. And you reach down to give them something else, and they're so afraid because they're so wild. They're in their heart, they're so afraid that you're reaching down to take it away from them that they bite the very hand that's blessing them, and you're trying to give them more. And the Lord just kind of spoke to me and said, That's what happens to my people when they operate in primal fear. I'm the one who keeps them alive, and I bless them. But I reach down to bless them, and they're so afraid I'm going to take something away from them that they snap at me, and I'm not allowed to give. And when I'm wanting to bless them, they keep those blessings out of their life. And I thought, wow, I don't want to act like no pet coon.
Beautiful. Wow. When you act like a varmint. Love it.
Yeah,
Crystal.
Acting like a vomit. I don't know how inspiring that is, but there you go.
You know what? Well, for me, super inspiring, and I'm sure for my listeners as well. You know, Crystal, I talk with people all day long about, you know, making that next best step and really starting to start creating and crafting the life that they were created to live. right? And, you know, within the tapestry of adoption, within my life and leadership work, that's what it's all about. It's, you know, stop biting the hands and start creating something beautiful. And I think you have just, you know, provided us an opportunity, a peek into a cowgirl's life, a very authentic walk with you through your fears and your victories. And again, you know, I'm just really honored to have spent this time with you, really super happy to connect with you again after 11 years of our first meeting back in Loveland, Colorado in 03. And again, thank you for the legacy that you are leaving to all of us who follow your music and follow your life that you're able to touch. And I wish you very well on your what's in the days ahead for you as you are still in the radio circuit doing all that you love to do and really grabbing the hearts of everyone who has the opportunity to hear you. And thanks for being real with me today.
Thank you. And thank you, Leanne, for what you do. Really do. Thank you for being there. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. And it was an honor to be on your show today. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And listeners, thank you for joining Crystal Lyons and myself, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach. And I really want to encourage each one of you to live the legacy today that you would like to leave for tomorrow. Don't hold back. Reach out and learn to love those who love you. Until next time, April 3rd, 2014, Walk Your Talk with Leanne will go live again. I'll look forward to it, and I love you all.